I would encourage you to open up your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And when you get there, I would instruct you to find verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20. This morning, it is Mother's Day, and I want to give a shout out to all the mothers, and I want you all to know that you are appreciated, that you are loved, and we all want to honor you not only today, but also throughout the year. It is a good thing to honor motherhood and to remind the people of God that motherhood is a precious and honored vocation. We live in an age where sex is exalted and revered, where gender is confused and diminished, where the institution of marriage is jeered at and motherhood is mocked. But when God wanted to save humanity from their sin, he did not use sex. When God the Father wanted to save humanity from its sin, he used gender. And when God wanted to save humanity from its sin, he used a virgin female to be the mother of the Son of God. And that mother was then united in marriage to a godly man named Joseph. So while the world may exalt sex and diminish gender and jeer at marriage and mock motherhood, God places great honor on them. And so it is a good thing. It is a godly thing. It is a biblical thing to honor the institution of motherhood. But my aim this morning is not to honor mothers by preaching a sermon telling them what they need to stop doing and what they need to start doing. You say, well, there's nothing like a good deal of motherly guilt before the cookout, right? And that's exactly what I don't want to do this morning. My aim this morning is not to admonish mothers, but to admonish those of us who have mothers, and to encourage all of us to build into our lives and into our homes a culture of honor extended to parents. Why do we want to build into our homes a culture of honor for parents? It's so that God might be glorified and that all of those who glorify him might see their eternal good in him. That is why we build a culture of honoring parents into our homes. That all started the idea of building a culture of honor in the homes. It started all the way back in Exodus 20, verse 12, with the fifth commandment. I want to call your attention to the fifth commandment that Moses gave to the children of Israel that they might glorify him and that they might find their eternal good in him. In chapter 20, verse 12, God says to all of us, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I am sorry to say that prior to my conversion, I spent the largest part of my life breaking this commandment. As a young unbeliever, I was passionate about two things. First, I was passionate about drugs and alcohol and partying and all the debauchery that came along with that. And I was passionate about being rebellious toward every authority in my life, beginning with my parents. That was a culture that started back in the 1960s, and I was only too happy to indulge it in every opportunity. And in so doing, I brought my mom and my dad a great deal of grief and pain. I remember it was years later that I discovered how many times that my mother cried herself to sleep at night as she pondered the precarious future of her only son. And so I am thankful, and I know my mom is thankful, that the irresistible, matchless grace of God found me and gave to me the miracle of the new birth so that I could put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And for the first time in my life, want to obey the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is not directed toward moms and dads. It's directed to the children of moms and dads. And so I want everyone who has a mother this morning to listen up. In fact, I will exercise my pastoral authority by exhorting you to memorize this commandment and to make it a part of your everyday life. In fact, you really should have all the commandments memorized. And if you don't have them all memorized, I would instruct you to start memorizing post haste. We will have a quiz next Sunday. Make sure that you can write them all out. But again, I want to direct this message to all the children. So, if the children are here this morning as you're watching, you know, be sure and pull the kids in close so that they can see it. Take away the G.I. Joe doll or whatever it is that they're playing with and get them to focus, because I'm speaking to the children this morning. I'm also speaking to teenagers this morning. And yes, I'm even speaking to adults, at least the adults that have parents. And since Adam and Eve are not with us this morning, that would include all of us that have parents. And I would say particularly to the children and to the teenagers, whatever you do, please do not be like Pastor Kenny was before the grace of God found him. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as the only basis of your salvation, please do that this morning. And by his grace, obey this commandment given for the glory of God and your eternal good. But the reason why we should give attention to this commandment is because the Lord gave it to us. And when the Lord gives us a commandment, he gives it to us for a very good reason. And that reason is twofold. One, that we might obey it. And then secondly, to receive the rich and beautiful promise that comes with it. This commandment, the fifth commandment, is a commandment with promise. It is the first commandment with a promise. The fifth commandment marks a transition in the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments address how the Israelites were to love God with all their hearts and souls and minds and strength, cultivating their exclusive allegiance to the covenant God who graciously brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So the fourth command, or the first four commandments, were all about that. They're all Godward. In other words, we often say the two greatest commandments. The first is love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, right? That's the first four commandments. The second set of commandments from 5 to 10 is, and love your neighbor as yourself. So the first four is really about cultivating an exclusive allegiance to the covenant God that brought Israel out of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. The fifth commandment starts the love your neighbor portion of the commandments and relates to really how the Israelites were to love the covenant people of God. So the first is about how to love the covenant God. The second is about how to love the the covenant people of God. The very first commandment that focuses on this idea of loving the covenant of people really focused on the first and most fundamental relationship that a human being can have, and that is the relationship of a child to his parents. That was the very first commandment to Israel and how they are to conduct themselves with the people of God. The very first commandment was how they are to conduct themselves with their parents. And that is very important because it reflects the place and the priority of the family in the plan and the purpose of God. It is significant that this first commandment introducing how Israelites were to treat each other is honor your father and your mother. The faithfulness of the nation would largely be measured on faithful obedience to this commandment. And the fulfillment of God's promises and purposes for his people were largely dependent upon obedience to this commandment in the home. In Israel's future, there would be discipline and there would be exile. And it was at least partly due to their failure to keep this commandment. Ezekiel the prophet would one day prophesy, father and mother are treated with contempt. So what Ezekiel is doing is he's saying, look, this is the reason why you're going into exile. This is why God is disciplining you. It's because father and mother are treated with contempt. And therefore, the Lord responds, I will scatter you among the nations, and I will disperse you through the countries, and I will consume your uncleanliness out of you. And this is why in prophesying the next stage of redemptive history, the prophet Malachi said in the final verses of the Old Testament, he said, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And so feeling the importance of this fifth commandment and its importance in the purpose of God for his people, I want us to consider two things in this commandment. I want us to look, first of all, at the prescription of the commandment, and then I want us to see the promise of the commandment. And if you understand that, that's basically how it's broken down. The prescription and the promise. The prescription and the promise. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And I want you to think about how do I take this prescription and this promise and build it into a culture of honor in my home? Because it's huge. That is a huge thing for us to consider. So number one, let's look at the prescription for the fifth commandment, or the prescription of the fifth commandment. The prescription is in the first half. In verse 12, he says, honor your father and mother. Now, the first thing I want us to see there before we even get into the word honor, I want you to notice that Moses points out both father and mother. That was unprecedented in the ancient world. The father was the one that received honor and glory. The mother was simply there to feed the kids. And honor was not something that was typically given to her. But under God's law, women, the mother, was given equal honor to the father. We see this all through the Old Testament. We see in the Proverbs where the mother is given a great deal of honor for her role in parenting the children. So that's just kind of an aside. But I want us to notice, first of all, the word honor. The word honor, that we are to honor father and mother. The word honor is actually the Hebrew word kabod. And the kabod was actually a little weight. It was a heavy weight that was used to measure out things like grain, right? And so you put your grain on one side of your scale, and then you would put a kabod, a weight, on the other side, and that would determine the value of the grain. And so they use this word, kabod, to refer to honor. To honor. Because the idea of honoring means to communicate heaviness and therefore value to something. right? To communicate heaviness and value. It is where we get the idea of glorifying or exalting or to make much of something. It is a word that communicates how we are to relate to God, how we are to relate to Him in His weightiness. And so when you think about kabod, or you think about honoring God, you are declaring that God is weighty, that He is significant, that He is valuable, that He matters, that He means something. He is worthy of honor. He is the Creator God. He is the King of all creation. He is exalted above the heavens and the earth. He is the source of all life, and therefore He is to be honored. That is, in essence, what the first, second, and third commandments are all about. The honor of God. And so it is very significant that God would use the word kabod in the fifth commandment to refer to parents. And so to honor your parents means that you treat them with due respect because they've been given to you as divine authority. Now that is a big, big statement. It means that we are called by God to give our fathers and our mothers their due weight because of their God-given role. To honor your father and mother is not to treat them lightly. You do not consider them your peers. Listen, your parents are not your peers. Children, teenagers, your parents are not your peers. And I hate to break this to you, but they're not your friends either. They are your God-given authorities, whether you like them or not. Children honoring and respecting their parents, reflected in the 10th commandment, was absolutely essential to the success of the nation of Israel. And I would suggest to you that this commandment is essential in the success of any nation and any people. Any nation and any people that do not take the fifth commandment seriously will do so to its peril. The seriousness of the fifth commandment is seen in Scripture by the penalty that was exacted on those who willfully and persistently dishonored, disrespected, and disobeyed their parents. We see that penalty in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. If you turn there, you see that. Deuteronomy 21, 18, we see the penalty for disobeying parents. It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, this is Deuteronomy 21, 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him and will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and he is a drunkard. And then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. And so shall you purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Rebellion was particularly condemned in Scripture because it was rightly viewed for what it is, and that is evil. A grievous and dangerous evil. And it was ultimately seen as rebellion against God. Philip Ryken, in his commentary on Exodus, commenting on disobedience to parents, says this, and I quote, "The Bible has a deep revulsion to this kind of disrespect, treating it with a kind of horror. When I was a youth pastor, I once took my high school students through the biblical passages that deal with disobedience to parents. Not surprisingly, by the time I finished reading these passages, the kids in my youth group were very quiet. Like most young people, they had always assumed that breaking the fifth commandment was part of their job, an ordinary part of growing up. But what they were discovering was that God obviously considers dishonoring one's parents to be one of the worst sins that anyone could possibly commit. This is true even if the Old Testament penalties for breaking the commandment are no longer in effect. Beloved, I want you to think about this. The seriousness of the fifth commandment is found in the fact that the penalty for breaking it is capital punishment. It's not a slap on the wrist. It's not a spank on the bum. It is death. Death. Raise your hand if you're happy that you're under the new covenant. I know I am. I'd be dead if I was under the old covenant. I would have been dead a long, long, long time ago. You would have never even known me. But I want you to recognize, and I don't want to take away the gravity of this, just by simply saying that the penalties under the old covenant are no longer in effect, I do not want us to conclude from that somehow the fifth commandment is less serious today than it was then. Even though the Old Testament penalties for breaking the fifth commandment are no longer in effect, serious, serious consequences remain. In the New Testament, disobedience to parents was indicative of a decadent culture that was experiencing the righteous judgment of God in the last days. And so these commandments are divinely designed, not only for the glory of God, but for our eternal good. So few words and so much wisdom. So few words and so much grace. God commands Israel to honor their father and their mother so that their children learn, listen, to honor and obey God. And by honoring them, by honoring mother and father, they will not die in their sins. Mom, Dad, do not ever allow your kids to dishonor you. Never allow your kids to disobey you. In fact, when they do it, treat it with a deep revulsion and a horror. Not because you deserve their honor or deserve their respect, but because you want to save them from eternal death. This is how important this is. Do not encourage your children to see you as an equal. Do not encourage your children to see you as a friend. You know, I've always wanted my kids just to see me, not as a parent, but as their best friend. What? They are not supposed to see you as a friend. Because here's the thing. When you say that, when you encourage your kid to see you as a friend, you are encouraging them to see you as an equal. And you are not their equal. When you are encouraging your children to see you as a friend, you are encouraging them to take you lightly, and you are not to be taken lightly. And worse than that, when you encourage them to see you as an equal and to take you lightly, you are leading them to eternal death. Because when you encourage them to see you as an equal and to take you lightly, you're also teaching them to see God as an equal and to take God lightly, and God will not be taken lightly. That, taking God as an equal or lightly, is the way of death. You see, the fifth commandment is not an end in itself. The fifth commandment had a purpose. The fifth commandment was all about teaching children how to honor and to worship God, how to see him as weighty and significant and valuable. And it all starts with how they see us. And if you've spent your whole life trying to be your kid's equal, they will curse God to his face the moment he gives them a command. You see, there is a great value in creating a culture of honor in our homes so that our children can benefit from the example and the love and discipline of their parents, and as a result grow in their love for God and their obedience to God and ultimately fulfill their purpose in God. That is the logic of the fifth commandment. That is the purpose of the fifth commandment. That your children, through honoring you, will learn to honor God. That's the prescription. Now the promise. The promise. What promise do we have here in the fifth commandment? Well, it's significant, and it's a big promise. The fifth commandment is the only commandment that comes with a promise to those who keep it. And the promise, listen, it is not simply a long life, but rather a long life filled with the blessings of God. I want you to notice what he says there in verse 12 of Exodus 20. Honor your father and your mother, there's a prescription, and here's the promise, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. Now I want you to notice that. I want you to notice this command. This is a command that has, again, a prediction and a promise. And the promise is that we will experience the full blessings of the covenant. And for Israel, it's in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. Comment a little bit more on that in just a moment. But I want you to think about the commandments and the way they're laid out. The fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The fourth commandment was meant to call the Israelites' attention back to creation and back to their rescue from Egypt. And the fifth commandment directs their attention future toward the time when they would possess the land that they were even at this moment journeying toward. The land, by the way, that God had promised to them through the patriarch Abraham. And so the promised land that Israel is journeying to and their national life in that land was very much in view in the fifth commandment and the promises attached to it. And so their experience, the Israelites' experience of the full blessings of God as individuals and as a nation in the land of promise was dependent upon their obedience to this command. Now, I want to make a real quick comment here about the land. Okay? The land was a promise that was given to the Old Testament people of God. It was a promise that God will in fact keep, and he will fulfill in the nation of Israel in the millennial kingdom. That will happen. But for our purposes, I think it would be beneficial to see how this promise applies to us under the new covenant in the church, because it doesn't apply exactly the same way as it did for them. We can see the difference in how Paul uses this promise in Ephesians chapter 6. You flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, because anytime you find something in the Old Testament repeated in the New Testament, that is a very, very important thing. We need to understand how that applies to us. We find in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then he quotes the fifth commandment. In verse 2, he says, "Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land," period. Now, the reason why I say that is because he leaves off the phrase that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, the reason why I believe that he's doing that is in order to broaden this application, is to broaden it out. Because after all, we are not living in the promised land. The children that I'm addressing this morning, telling them to honor their parents so that they can receive this promise, they are not living in the promised land. We are not in the promised land. And we are not presently looking forward to any kind of blessings in the promised land that we're not in. Which is why some translators opt for the word earth rather than land. The Greek text can actually support either earth or land, but I believe earth is probably the good one because I think it probably captures Paul's intent much more. But all that to say, it appears that when Paul was writing this, he was expecting the children of a certain age to be present in the church when his letter was being read. In his fine commentary on Ephesians, Peter O'Brien writes this. He says, presumably they, these children that are hearing Paul's letter being read, presumably they are old enough to understand their relationship to the Lord and the commitments that follow from it. The additional motivating phrase, in the Lord, is virtually synonymous with as to the Lord or as to Christ, and indicates that their obedience to their parents is part of their Christian discipleship. Now, let me say that again, because that's a huge statement. It assumes that obedience to parents is part of your Christian discipleship. This is why when I became a believer, I started following Christ. And it took me a few years to get to this place. But I sat down one Mother's Day and I wrote a card to my mom. And I wrote down the front and on the back and all over the place, expressing how much I appreciate her and for everything she did and how she never gave up on me. And she loved me, and she cared for me, and she prayed for me. Why did I do that? Did I do it just because I thought my mom would appreciate it? Well, that was part of it. But I did it because it was part of my Christian discipleship. It was part of following Jesus Christ, giving my life to Him. Honoring Him meant honoring my parents. And all my whole life has been really a testament of dishonor to my parents. So I did that. And so this indicates that their obedience, going back to O'Brien, that their obedience to their parents is part of their Christian discipleship. It is not rendered simply because of their parents' greater authority or status. And so this command given to children to obey parents is done as to the Lord. And with the Lord ultimately in view. Again, why do we have our kids memorize and recite the fifth commandment? Why? Is it so that it protects our power and our control and our authority? No, it's so that they don't die and go to hell. That's why. Because they need to learn how to revere and to obey and to honor and to worship God. Adam and Eve, our original sin, where did it all start? It started because they refused to honor God. And they instead honored self. So this is a huge, hugely important thing for us to consider as we think about honoring parents, and particularly mothers. Paul says, children, obey your parents. Now that assumes that parents are giving wise commands and wise directives. Wise parents do not give suggestions. Wise parents do not beg their children to obey. Wise parents do not bribe their children to obey. Wise parents give age-appropriate commands and directives, and wise parents expect obedience to those age-appropriate commands and directives. and children who obey their parents and honor their parents are usually the happiest kids in the room. And Paul continues, why do we do this? Why do we do this? Because it's right. It's right. In other words, this is God's revealed will, because parental authority is divinely delegated authority. We really need to think about how we parent. I fear that even in Christian households, our parenting is very horizontal. It's all about clean your room, do what I tell you to do, blah, 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 blah. Instead of having them see that every command that we give has a heavenward focus, and it's meant to incline their hearts to the God that they are called to worship and honor. To support that command to obey parents, Paul quotes the fifth commandment. He says, verse 2, honor your father and mother, and then he has that wonderful little parenthesis. This is the first commandment with a promise. I really like that, because he could have said, this is the first commandment with a threat, which is often the way we do it, right? Honor your mom and dad or else. But no. He wants to encourage obedience. And he says, honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you. And that you may live long in the earth. In other words, if you obey the fifth commandment, you will experience the rich blessings of God in your life and throughout your life. Why do we obey parents? Because it is in your best interest to obey parents. Honor your parents that it may go well with you, that you may live a long life in the land. I love how God, or how Paul, well, God and Paul, personalizes the command twice. He says that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the earth. Beloved, the fifth commandment to honor parents, to honor father and mother, comes with the wonderful promise that if you do that, you will experience the blessings of God. So how do you apply this command? This is a good question. What does this command look like in a house? Okay, I want to speak to three groups of people. Number one, I want to speak to first through fifth graders. Okay? And I want you to know that this is not complicated for a first through fifth grader. Okay, and let me make it really honest, honest and very direct, okay, to all the first and fifth graders. You can honor your father and mother by obeying them immediately and cheerfully. That'll get it done almost every time and twice on Sundays. Obey them immediately and cheerfully. And I want to give you two exercises. Number one, I want you to memorize the fifth commandment, the whole thing, without missing a single word. And when you come back to church and you see PK, Pastor Kenny, recite it to him, and he will give you a $1 bill. I'll have to keep dollar bills in my hand for a while, but I'll give you one. And here's the second thing I want you to do. I want you to go to your parents, and I want you to ask your parents, give me three ways that I can obey immediately and cheerfully. Three ways in three areas of my life, three things. And parents, you need to give them those three things. Because that's how we build a culture of honor in our homes. Okay. Number two, teenagers. Okay. Teenagers. What does it look like for a teenager to honor parents? Well, one thing you need to recognize is that the fifth commandment is usually laughed at and scoffed in our culture, and particularly in teen culture. It just is. But I want you to know that if you obey this commandment, you will feel the pleasure of God and you will experience the promise of God and the blessing of God in your life and throughout your life. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if He's your Savior, if He's your God, if He's your Lord, and you commit yourself to obeying the fifth commandment and honoring your parents, you will experience blessing. And you will experience it throughout your life. And teenagers, I'm also going to instruct you. I'm not going to give you a dollar because I'm already getting way ahead of myself. Maybe I'll have your parents give you a dollar. Memorize the fifth commandment. From the beginning to the end, and not only memorize it, but really internalize it and ask yourself the searching questions, am I honoring my parents? And how I speak to them, and how I speak about them, and how I obey them. And then I want you to ask your parents to give you three ways that you can do that. But I want to give you a few recommendations, okay, just from Pastor Kenny, because I am a parent, and I'll give you some of the things that I will tell my kids when they ask me three ways, and I'll give you more than three. Number one, wise children go to their parents for counsel. Look, I'm not saying never seek counsel from a peer, but if that's the only counsel you're seeking or from peers, you're probably going to end up in the same sinking boat that they are. They don't have wisdom. They haven't lived long enough. They're your age. They don't have wisdom. They don't know where to go next. The ultimate counsel that you must seek are your parents. Because here's the thing. I know we're boring. We seem out of touch. We listen to old music, all of that other kind of stuff. But you know something? We have picked up a few things along the way. And we've learned some things. And we've learned what it's like when we don't obey God, right? We know when Proverbs talks about the fool, we've all been there. We know what it's like to live the life of the fool. So you go to your parents and you honor them by saying, Mom, Dad, I need to seek your counsel. Secondly, a wise child informs their parents of their temptations and their struggles. I know that's a hard one, but that is one that you absolutely have to build into how you honor your parents. Proverbs says, he who hides his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And I know some of you teenagers, you are living right now in sin that you are hiding. You're hiding it. And you don't have to hide it. I mean, you can reveal it to your parents. Your parents are there as God's instruments of His word and His comfort and His encouragement. You tell them, this, Mom, this is what I'm dealing with. Dad, this is what I'm struggling with. I went someplace on the internet and I can't stop going. I need your help. And they're there to help you, not to judge you. They're there to help you. You know, tell them, you know, let them know about your temptations and your struggles. And you know something that honors a parent? Because it tells a parent that they're trusted and they're respected and they're valued. Wise teens also honor their parents by expressing their appreciation for their parents' sacrifices. I don't know if teenagers realize just how much it costs to raise a kid. You know, every time I've lost two older kids now off the income thing so that I don't get child income tax credits from them for them anymore, right? I don't get it anymore. So every year it's like I lose another one, bang, bang. My taxes just keep going up. I'm like, ooh, you know, more, you know. But here's the thing. Once they get out of your house, it costs way more to keep them in your house than any tax income credit you get. Right? So you're saving money, actually, by getting them out. And praise the Lord that I've got one out and the other one is on its way. Of course, they're all grinning right now because they know I grab their ankles as they're leaving the house. Please don't leave. You can stay. But they leave because they know that it's better for them. Anyway. So wise, but express your appreciation for them. That's just an important thing. And let them know, God, you know, Mom, Dad, I really appreciate the sacrifices that you've made for me. You know, there are a lot of times parents don't get what they want, you know. You know, a lot of us, you know, I would love to have a Corvette. But I could buy a Corvette perhaps if I don't live in a house, my children live in the field, and they don't get fed. They forage off whatever they can find. I could have my Corvette. But I don't have a Corvette. And the reason why is because my kids are more important than that. And kids need to appreciate the sacrifices that parents make for them. My mom, I don't think the woman bought new shoes. But she always made sure that we had new shoes. Always. She'd wear the same thing again and again for years. She had the same clothes. I mean, whenever she said, I got a pair of shoes older than you are, she had all of her shoes were older than you are. And I appreciate the sacrifice to make sure I had shoes. And that honors your parents. And many times, you know, parents that are like, my kid never appreciates my sacrifice, the day will come when they will, when they have kids. And they realize that they can't make ends meet in the way they would like. So, wise teens honor their parents' sacrifices. Thirdly, or fourthly, or whatever it is, fifthly, I think. Wise teens honor their parents by speaking well of their parents in public. You know, I want you to, I've only got one teen here, but I'm going to speak to all of them. I really want you to build into your life this idea that when someone speaks ill of their parents, that you know you let them know that that's not good. You should honor your parents. You should honor them. Because when you notice it in others, it's going to go a long way in noticing it in yourself and seeing that, you know, I need to also speak well of my parents, that I honor my parents. So that's for the teenagers. Adults, how do we obey this commandment? Because we obey this commandment in a different way, right? Because we are no longer under the authority of our parents, right? We have now built a new authority structure in our own home with our own family, right? So we don't really have that same kind of application that children and teens would have. And so how do we obey the fifth commandment? Because I do believe that the fifth commandment still goes to us. Just because we don't obey our parents the same way we did when we were children doesn't mean that we do not honor them. And I get this all the time. People ask me, well, you know, do you obey your kid? You know, how do you do that? And the best example I can see is in the British monarchy. In the British monarchy, you know, when this current one, when Queen Elizabeth ascended to the throne and became the sovereign, her mom, who had been queen before, was no longer on the throne. She no longer ruled. And she was given the unofficial title of Queen Dowager. And the Queen Dowager, and they call her Queen Mum, right? Queen Mum. She no longer ruled. She no longer had any authority. She could not in any way command anyone. That was her daughter now as Queen Elizabeth. But she was still given all the honor that a queen would receive. But she walked into the room, everyone rose. And everyone gave deference to her. And they would still talk to her and counsel with her and inquire. I mean, I'm sure that Queen Elizabeth many times asked her queen mom what to do in this particular situation. That is a way that we honor our parents. I also think that one of the ways that we can do it is by letting them know, even in our older days, thank you so much for the things that you did, and to be very specific about it. Dad, remember when you told me that I couldn't use your lawnmower to make money? You made me go and buy my own lawnmower. None of the other kids had to do that. I did. I had to buy my own lawnmower, and I gave you the money for it. Every time I mowed, I didn't get any of the money. I gave it to you until it was paid for. And Dad, thank you for doing that, because it taught me what it's like in the real world. There's no handouts. There's no freebies. You work for what you get. And I'm going to honor my dad for that. I've taken that lesson with me in more ways than you can imagine. I've communicated that to my kids. My kids have learned that they have to work to get anything that they want. Why? Because I was taught by a dad how to do it, and I want to honor him. And the day will come when my kids will honor me for the same kinds of lessons. And as adults, we need to be aware of that and honor our parents for specific things that they've done for us. I'm sorry, but some of this could become pretty emotional for me. But that's the way we honor them. But I want to close this morning by thinking about the one who perfectly kept the fifth commandment. In fact, he was the one that perfectly kept all the commandments. But the way he kept the fifth commandment was particularly touching. And we see it all the way back when he was about 12 years old. You know, he was left behind. They had gone to the temple to worship, and they all left to go back to Galilee in a caravan, I guess, or whatever. And they looked around about 2 days later and noticed, we've lost the Messiah. He's gone. Where is he? And they go back and they're frantic, you know, and you can just imagine Mary. My goodness, I mean, any parent knows how that is, to walk into Jerusalem, a big, bustling city with all these people from all over the world that are all there, you know, and some are pretty bad people. And she's frantically looking, and she finds him in the temple. And she comes up to him, where have you been? We have been looking all over the place for you. How many parents can just totally resonate with that? And he says to her, well, you know, I had to be about my father's business. But after she collected him, the text says, Luke says, that he went and he submitted to them. He submitted to his parents. I'm about my father's business. And part of my father's business is submitting to my parents. And then at the final hour of his death, as he was experiencing the indescribable agony of the crucifixion, he obeyed the fifth commandment. As he experienced the unimaginable horror of being made sin for us, as he experienced the outpouring of God's righteous, furious wrath against our sin on the cross, he kept the fifth commandment. As he was bleeding on that bloody cross, he honored his mother by looking down at her and looking over at the disciple whom he loved. And he said, behold, your mother. And John tells us that from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. At the very hour when he was suffering for the sins of the world, at the moment when he was receiving the furious wrath of Almighty God, he obeyed the fifth commandment. He said, take care. Only Jesus perfectly kept the fifth commandment. Only Jesus perfectly kept all the commandments. And because he perfectly fulfilled all the law, he could die for those who have broken the law. And the one who perfectly fulfilled the law died on the cross for our disobedience to the fifth commandment and all the commandments, and he paid the penalty for breaking the fifth commandment and all the commandments, so that if we trust in him and his obedience on the cross, his death in our place, we will be forgiven of our sins and we will be given his perfect righteousness. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And so I close by simply reminding you to obey and to honor your parents, that it may go well with you, and that you might live long, experiencing the full blessings of God throughout your life. And to remember, always remember, that points you to the great God who loved you even when you broke the commandment and gave his life as the penalty for your sin. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you this morning, we are so grateful. We are so blessed Father, we're blessed that you have given us this wonderful gift of parents. They're not perfect. In fact, at times they hurt us. Times they abused us. But Father, give us the strength and the humility to recognize that they did it because they're sinners like we are, and that they need your grace, your love, and just as they were the vehicles of grace and love from you to us, we can be vehicles of grace and love from you to them. And I pray, Lord, that we would always, always honor our parents. I pray, Father, for mothers this morning that are struggling, probably more so now because of the lockdown than other times, and they're having to juggle a lot more than they have before. I pray, Lord, you give them all strength and courage, that you'd help them to know that great blessing comes through great suffering, and that they would rest upon you, and they would recognize and remember that their work is never, ever in vain. I pray, Father, for fathers as well, that we would always remember to be as close a representative of God as we can possibly be. That we will not forget to have fun with our kids, but at the same time that we will remember that we have a holy obligation to them. And I pray, Father, that maybe this through this humble message, that it would lead your people to build a culture of honor in their homes. Because we know, Father, that that is the way that our kids are prepared to hear the gospel of Jesus. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here this morning in the sound of my voice that have never placed their trust in Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that right now you would draw them to a saving knowledge of your Son. That they would see him for who he is, and that they would trust in him for what he's done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You could all rise for the singing of the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him.
May the grace and everlasting kindness of God our Savior be with each of you. You're dismissed.